Brother Jerry Schroeder is with me. He's the director of the St. Francis Institute in Milwaukee, where their regular presentations that discuss Franciscan spirituality. It's a learning community for spiritual development and formation in the Franciscan tradition. You can find out more at sfim.org. That's sfim.org. Brother, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Talk a little bit about Franciscan spirituality, and I guess we could start with what you do there at the center, the kind of work that you're doing.
We provide retreat experiences and classes and reflections and a space for reflecting on different aspects of the Franciscan path and vision of life. And it's an old priory in the center of the city, and we're gradually working on developing that. So, and we provide presentations, and we also make DVD copies of those and provide those on the web. Those are part of that. So, and we're gradually developing and growing the mission there. So,
kind of expanding the work that you're doing.
Right.
What is it that you hope people will grasp about Franciscan spirituality that they'll make part of their own lives?
I think basically how you can look at God and yourself and the world and see yourself basically connected to what is really good and beautiful. Francis would go about and saying, good morning, good people, you know. And so it's a vision of God that sees the world and everything in it not as basically evil or threatening, although, you know, we have evil and violence and that, but it's a very hopeful, sustaining way of going through life and looking at God in a way that makes a wonderful support and helps you live in a world that's really sustaining and beautiful. To see life as a series of and a whole network of relationships where we're bound together, kind of in this body. We live in a very divisive time where people live in worlds that are small, and then they destroy people in other worlds that they don't think belong there. And you know, so. But brotherhood, sisterhood, in the broadest sense, Francis, and even the environment, looking at our world, at wind and fire and water, is somehow related to us, including them in our, you know, what would you say, our family. And so that's the basic vision. And one of the key, I think, insights of the Franciscan tradition is that the incarnation, the reason for Jesus, was not sin, which he had to deal with sin, but the reason for the incarnation was that the plan from all the beginning of time was that Jesus would, and the incarnation would happen. That God basically wants to be with us primarily because if you love somebody, you want to be with them. And this is an emphasis, I think, that the Franciscan approach to reality and to God has. It's a little different. We were raised as Catholics, and I was too, you know, to say, well, Jesus came to save me from my sins. Yeah, right. Jesus does heal and strengthen, but that wasn't the primary reason. Jesus happens to show us basically how beloved we are as children of God, and that it's who we are. He came to teach us who we really are. And so often we live out of a false identity. We don't operate. We harm. We do stupid, even violent things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still reflecting on this and learning this. So, and that's how we invite people to do that.
Mm. It's interesting, brothers, you mentioned the smallness of our worlds. You know, we have all of this incredible technology. We have the ability now to talk in real time in a number of ways to people, you know, all over the world, and,
right,
and the way social media connects us. But we, you know, we see study after study that says exactly what you just said. We gather around us in our virtual worlds as well as our real worlds only the people that we agree with, only the people who we sort of, you know, are going to be in lockstep with.
Right.
And unfortunately, as you said also, that's true across the spectrum, which means if we disagree on things, it's very difficult for people to talk to each other anymore.
Right. This is true. And I think another key is that the Spirit of God is working in everyone. You know, again, you know, your God, it doesn't end at the river or at the street. You know, how we imagine God and how we imagine ourselves is really significant, because that determines how I behave. So it's really a process of trying to live the gospel and reimagine ourselves, take on the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and we're still learning it after 2,000 years. Jesus said, you know, there's a lot more I'd love to tell you, but you're not ready for it. You know? So there's a lot more to be revealed about who we are. So many brothers and sisters live in such constricted kind of self-hatred kinds of worlds, and we're not meant to live that way. We're just not meant to live that way, and so it is hopeful that there is more to us than meets the eye. You know, that there's a mystery at the center of who we are that is just marvelous, and we don't need to walk around in despair or fear, or you know, and we're able to relate to one another, like you were saying, across traditional boundaries, the old enemy lines kind of thing, you know. And so, you know, Francis, there it's the prayer attributed to Francis, the peace prayer, you know, make me an instrument of your peace. So for Francis, the Holy Spirit was the key. If we allow the Spirit of God to teach us and to lead us and to move us into new worlds and new relationships, there is an effort, I think, to grow our consciousness about this, not just in the Catholic world or the Christian world either. But so Francis even went, you know, in his time, the bitter enemies were the Muslims and the Christians. And during the Crusade, he went across the line and he went to visit the Sultan of the Muslims. And, of course, he was criticized for that. But he didn't go to really convert the Sultan, but they wound up being able to dialogue and to, you know, which says something, you know, about our world today, the huge fear line between the Christian Muslim world and, you know, that's a major issue in our world today.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so.
I'm talking with Brother Jerry Schroeder, and he is the director of the St. Francis Institute in Milwaukee. You can find them online at sfim.org. That's sfim.org. And more with Brother Schroeder coming up. Brother Jerry Schroeder is with me, director of the St. Francis Institute in Milwaukee. It's a part of the Capuchin Franciscan province of St. Joseph. And you can find them online at sfim.org. And Brother Schroeder, I know you've got a fall series coming up. Want to give you a chance to talk about that a little bit, talking about St. Clair.
Right. Clair and Francis were actually co-founders of the movement. And so Clair, when she was just in her teens, left. We're celebrating the 800th anniversary of her leaving of her family and and joining Francis in this marvelous new inspiration in the Catholic world. And so Clair had the courage, actually, to listen to the Holy Spirit working in her life. And she, of course, was influenced by her family. Her mother probably was, her mother Ortolana was quite a deeply spiritual woman, went on pilgrimages and things. So somehow as she grew, she kept listening to the Holy Spirit, something that Mary, of course, listened to the Word of God and trusted it and followed it, even though she didn't always know where that was going, you know. But as we celebrate the Feast of the Assumption, and so Clair started as a woman in the church a different way of being a follower, a disciple of Christ, living the gospel life. And today there are women throughout the world, actually, following in that footstep, and she is a great example of, I think, a woman who respected the authority of the Pope at her time, but also listened to the Spirit working in her own heart. And I think it's relevant today because what we see going on between the Vatican authorities, teaching authorities, and the sisters in the United States, it's an attempt at letting the Holy Spirit work in both of them and somehow dialogue, you know, and work together again beyond what we might call barriers or different views or visions. So she's a wonderful example of fidelity to the Holy Spirit, fidelity to the Church. Before she died, she wanted the Pope to recognize her way of life. It was a new way, and the authorities at that time, the Pope was reluctant to start anything beyond the Benedictines and the other religious communities of women. But she persisted in listening to the Holy Spirit. Eventually, on her deathbed, the Pope confirmed her way of life. So she was one of the first women who actually founded, you know, that kind of religious movement. And she, I think, continues to inspire women who are really in love with Christ and who really love the Church and the world and who dedicate themselves to a personal journey with Christ and praying for the world. And she wasn't exactly enclosed, because when she did that at her time, she had all the sick and the wounded and so many people coming to her door. They were busy ladies. It wasn't like they were, you know, just locked behind these walls. And they really are powerful instruments in what you might call the mystical body, the world in which we're living, which is filled with the power and the goodness of God, and they're trying to, again, heal the wounds that we're suffering from, so many wounds of violence. And Stritch University, we're in collaboration with Stritch University in Milwaukee, and we just put on a conference celebrating her 800th, what you'd call her turn in life, her conversion.
So. Mm. Now, we hear this story, at least the story that I've heard, and I'm sure you know it a whole lot better than I would, but when she left her family in the middle of the night, and they weren't happy about where she was discerning that her life was going.
Right, but they were not. No, they were a noble family, in fact. In those days, women were expected to marry into another family. I mean, these marriages were practically arranged, you know. And that's how the nobility, the feudal class, which she belonged to, sustained the feudal system by these intermarriages and connections and that. And her brothers came after her. Francis took her to a Benedictine place. He didn't have a place for her. San Damiano, eventually, outside the walls of Assisi, was their first home, but it wasn't ready yet. So that first night, she snuck out. She went through an old door wasn't used. She had to go down. She had to leave the security of the walled city, go down into the valley. There, at that time, if you went into a sanctuary, a church, you were dedicated to God. And once that was established, then in this case, her family couldn't touch her. And one of the signs of that was the cutting of the hair. This was kind of like a vows ceremony. So when her brothers came after her and she clung, you know, to the altar at this Benedictine place and took off her veil and showed that she had clipped her hair, well, they had to, at that time, the understanding was that you just had to leave her and let her follow the call of God, you know. And so her sisters came, her two, eventually her mother joined her too. And but it wasn't easy. It was going against the grain. It was leaving power and privilege behind. And of course, family can influence us quite a bit. I mean, how we look at ourselves, what we're expected to do with our lives and that. And sometimes I think so many young people today hear so many different voices. And, you know, I think what Claire and Francis provide for us is an example of how to remain true to oneself. One's deepest self, and at the center of every human being is this divine presence. You know, St. John in the Gospel prologue there says, "Everyone who comes into the world is enlightened by Christ," and we carry this with us. And it doesn't often have a chance to really grow and be seen, but. We keep trying. We try to, and that's what the Institute tries to do, is provide time and place for the brothers and sisters to really find out who they really are and to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes there's need for healing because so many of us are wounded, you know. We've already experienced maybe not the severe violence that happened at the Sikh temple, you know, but we do experience forces in our life that that lead us down the wrong path.
Well, Brother Schroeder, thank you so much. It was very good to talk to you. Thanks for sharing those reflections.
You're welcome.
And you can find out more about the St. Francis Institute in Milwaukee at sfim.org. sfim.org. Check out their summer series.